Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for the GizWiz is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
It's time for the GizWiz with Mad's maddest writer, Dick DiBartolo. This is episode 1457, recorded Wednesday, February 26, 2014. Holy moler!
And now, get ready for Dick!
It's now time to print up another GizWiz!
It's the same dumb show with Dickie D and Leo Love.
Oh, I OMG Chad.
TV. It's time for the GizWiz because gadgets are his business. They've got a gizmo sickness, geek disease.
Under pathology.
Rows and rows of USBs. Growing, glowing LEDs. Get ready for the GizWiz now.
Now it is time for the GizWiz with Mad's maddest writer, Dick DiBartolo. How are you doing, Dick?
I'm good. Sometimes you give me a big pain.
Yeah? Me? Oh.
No. That was the pain, the glass. They were shooting you out. Okay.
Oh,
never
I get
mind.
It. I get
never
it.
Never mind.
Oh.
Never mind.
Big pain. Big pain of glass.
Yeah. You know, all that dirt on the window, I think, is people who came by looking for us when we weren't on the air.
Banged on the window.
Yes, and pressing their noses against the glass.
We're starting a little late on this episode. We had a production meeting. They're apparently screaming back there. I don't know if you can hear them. They're having a great old time back in the production meeting that I just left. we had to pitch a whole bunch of new shows, and so we're getting a little late here today. But don't worry, I brought my glasses.
Oh, yeah, we'll catch up. Oh, my God, it's Clark Kent.
Yeah. Now I'm Super Chad.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Super Chad.
Yeah, yeah. So we had a fan named Tyler who came in for OMG Craft, and he gave me these 8-bit glasses.
Oh, they're great.
And so I've been wearing them.
Oh, I think they cost more than that.
yeah, I mean, maybe 16-bit or 32. But
yeah, I would think.
He said he paid 8, so...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Are they magnifiers or prescription or just plain glass?
They're just plain plastic.
Okay.
Was what I bet. Yeah. Yeah. But I like them. I think, as a kid, I always wanted glasses just because I thought I'd look good in glasses. And these,
you know, actually, you don't look bad in them.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, I think they're good. I would keep them in the act.
The next thing I need is big old eyebrows to kind of
raise
up over the glasses. Anyway, we'll work on that later.
Okay, very good. Very good.
If you can't tell, it is raining in Petaluma. Big time.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's why we have no guests going by the windows.
No.
That's why.
So I don't think, if you do see guests, it's going to be umbrellaed guests or ponchoed guests.
Okay.
Are you a poncho or an umbrella fan?
I am a foul weather gear guy.
A what?
Foul weather gear.
What is that?
From my boat, I have a red foul weather jacket from like West Marine with a hood. So when you go boating and the waves are breaking over the bow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it takes the place of an umbrella and a poncho.
Oh, wow. So it's
and
like,
it
yeah.
Looks it's cool. Like,
it's real hardy stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And I carry a thing of Old Spice deodorant with me to complete the picture. Oh, Chad, turn around.
Oh, this is we have a Liz Romero who...
Liz is total stranger.
And then another stranger.
Oh.
Who really looks
homeless. Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
The fake stranger scared away the real
stranger. Yeah, we almost got a real one. Liz just ran out. Anyway, we got a whole bunch of stuff lined up for you this episode. I have actually two things to show off on top of our gadgets, and we don't have any ad reads to slow us down. So,
we got
a great show coming up.
Okay, and we have I have an update to a product we showed 2 weeks ago. So it's a full show.
Very full show.
My three gadgets are themed gadgets because there was the New York 3D print show.
Ooh.
about 10 days ago. And unfortunately for them, it opened up during that incredible blizzard. But I was quite amazed at the amount of people that were there. And there were about 40 exhibits. So 2 years ago, or I guess last year around this time, I went to a print show and there were just like 18 exhibits. So 3D printing.
It's
gaining traction. So the first printer I'm going to show you is I was over at MakeABot and they introduced a tiny little printer for the table. Not cheaper, just small. It was still coming in, I think, $1,299.
We have a Jason Howell out there.
You know what? They always said he was too dumb to come in from the rain, and it's possibly correct.
I wonder if he's going to be a. He's going to look at.
A total stranger.
Hey, stranger.
Hello, total stranger.
This is a studio. This is a television studio. Hey. How's it going?
Yeah, equipment.
And we thought he didn't have enough time to switch the show. He's just hanging out outside the whole show now.
Right.
See you later, Jason.
Oh, now we know the truth. He just doesn't want to be involved with us. Now we get the picture.
It's nice to see that from a different angle.
Yes.
And then, yes.
Bye.
Yeah. Woo. You can really see what the tint on these windows does. Like, that's outside versus this. We put a film over all of our windows.
Wow.
So the 3D print show went. Okay, 3D was going
print
well.
Show. So that was showing small printers, but then this is the biggest printer that I've seen. So let's take a look at the Big Rep 1.
Dick DiBartolo, Mads Maddest writer, and the Gizwiz with another one-take theater here on Twit. At the 3D print show, a lot of companies are showing smaller and smaller 3D printers. Well, here is a real departure. Take a look at this 3D printer. The company is called Big Rep, and I'm here with Renee. And Renee, did you print that table on this machine?
Yes, that was printed on that machine in Berlin, Germany, last week before we came here. And it took 5 days to build this table. And it was only $150 to a building cost.
Oh, that was just the cost of the filament was about $150.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what market? This is not for the home.
No. We're looking at architectural firms, design studios, and also a lot of artists that are interested in building just full-scale objects or like real scale and not models anymore. And we were very successful in... Yeah, supplying the architects and designers with our big objects now.
Uh-oh, the object you're showing me, is this your trash bin or you printed this?
We needed a trash bin, so we just printed one out.
Oh, good. Good. That is really neat. And so you can print anything as big as that platform?
Yes. We have a total build volume of 1.3 cubic meters, which is about 48 cubic feet. So that's fairly big. But it will take probably... a week or two to build something on the whole volume.
That is just amazing. So would an architect actually maybe design original furniture and then build the furniture for the customer?
Of course. You know, it used to be that a architect or even a product designer, he needs 2 to 4 weeks to get his product done by a sculpturist or by a modelist. And here it takes 3 days and he's done. Plus, he can do multiple objects because the machine doesn't care. If you turn it on again and just make another print, you know, you can do 2 or 3 prints. But if you're an architect and you have one model of one house, it's so expensive to build that you're not going to do a second or a third one.
You could print 3 different objects at the same time?
Of course.
Wow, that's cool.
You can do multiple objects as long as they fit on the plate or in the height. So you can actually fit 4 tables on here.
Unbelievable. Now, what is the price of this?
The price is $39,000, and we think we are very competitive compared to the real industry machines, because an industry machine is $500,000, and if you calculate it down, an object like that on an industry machine would probably be $10,000 to $15,000 retail, and for us it's only $2,000.
Amazing. And your website is?
BigRep.com.
BigRep.com. Dick DiBartolo, Maz Medis writer, and the Gizwiz here at the 3D Print Show. We're going to put Dennis on there. We're going to make a second Dennis so I can have two cameramen. Okay, bye.
Yeah, that's pretty neat, isn't it?
That is really cool.
Yeah. Now, I was looking at the chat room while I was playing, and someone said $150 for the waste paper basket. It was $150 in filament to print the table.
The table.
Yeah. But it does take a long time.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like this is one of those MasterCard commercials where it's like $150 for the filament, 3 days to print the table. You only get it in orange, but having a 3D printed table, priceless.
Like, it's priceless.
Like,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's you know, the thing is that everybody was sort of saying at the 3D show is that even though these things sound expensive, compared to what industry used to buy, you know, which cost hundreds of thousands of dollars,
yeah,
to find something for $53,000 that can print furniture is a bargain. And I'm sure as we go on, the prices will drop.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much it costs to print the paper basket.
The paper basket, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's very cool.
So the second one is even, let's see, that was, I think the second one cost even more money, but the second one doesn't use filament. So let's take a look at the only 3D printer that uses this material that I've ever heard of. So back to the print show.
Dick DiBartolo, Mads Medestrider, and the Gizwiz, another one-take theater here on Twitch, still at the 3D printer show. You know the old thing about razor blades? They sell you a very cheap razor, and then the blades are $9,000 a blade. Well, this is kind of a version of that. It's where the printer sounds expensive, but it turns out not to be expensive because it uses what for its material?
Paper. It's a plain paper-based 3D printer.
This is really amazing. You throw in a ream of paper?
That's right. You could throw in up to three reams of paper, which would give you a Z height of up to 5.9 inches.
Can we walk over here and...
Yeah. So imagine the traction.
There's a whole ream of paper there.
What's happening, I'll explain what's happening right now, is if you have a shot there of the piece that's coming in contact with the surface of the paper, that's a tungsten carbine cutting tip. And we are etching or cutting the geometry for that layer. And once it's done cutting the geometry for that layer, then we're going to start to lay down the glue for that same layer as well. Once we lay down the glue for that layer, then we'll pull in the next page, and the entire platform will come up against the top plate. And on the top plate, we heat that to 80 degrees Celsius, and that's what actually laminates the layers together. We use 1 ton of pressure of pressing up onto that plate to laminate it layer to layer.
You mean the sheets are being fed into that one page at a time?
That's correct. And as I said, we're still cutting right now. But once we're finished with the cutting, actually it just started the gluing. So on the right side of the head, you'll see that there's a glue wheel, and that glue wheel is coming in contact with the paper. And what we're doing is we're laying down the glue in two different densities. We're laying down a very high density for the area where we're creating that geometry or the part. And then we're also laying down a very low density of glue outside of that area, just enough to keep the page tacked together during the fabrication or the build process. But once the build process is completed, that low density of glue allows us to break away the unwanted areas of the paper.
But Dennis is shooting, those were all made out of paper?
That's correct. All of the parts you see there were all made out of paper. Now, we also do color, as you see on some of the parts.
Yes, they can do color.
The way that we apply the color is we use a 2D printer. We pre-print the outline for each layer on a high-resolution 2D printer. And then once we're, you know, those pages are ready, we load them onto the feed tray of the 3D part of the process, and we let it do the cutting and the gluing.
So now, tell us the price of the machine. It doesn't sound that expensive.
No, it's $53,000 roughly.
All you need to buy is paper.
Just paper.
Amazing. And tell us your website.
the website, we have two websites. It's www.sculptgraphics.com, and you'll see our name up there. It's spelled a little unconventionally, or mcoretechnologies.com as well.
I'm going to take my high school diploma, if I had one, and turn it into something unique. Vicky Bartola, Mads Maddest, try to end the Gizwiz with another one-take theater here at TWiT. Bye.
Thank you. Wow.
I mean, it takes a sheet at a time, glues it together, uses a heavy-duty glue on the piece that you're going to... It was actually printing... like a piston rod for for a demo. So it uses heavy-duty glue on the piece that's part of the build, and it uses a light glue on the paper just to hold the ream together. And you can throw three reams into the machine at one time and build anything up to 5.9 inches, which is the height of three reams of paper.
Wow. Wow. Like, It really makes me think of Back to the Future when he threw just trash into his car to fuel the car. And you feel like, we got this paper, just throw it at the 3D printer, and it's going to, like, I know it has to be fresh, clean paper, but that is so very innovative and very cool.
And
color. You know,
Yes. And the interesting thing, Chad, is that the third gadget does specifically what you're talking about. It betrays the fact that only the chat room knows that we start about 5 or 6 hours before we tape this
to
thresh out what I'm doing, and you come up with clever segues into it.
And so I think when people see the
next video, they're going to go, oh, I see. It's what Chad was hinting at that Dick made into reality. So whenever John...
Polished and professional. That's what we are.
Exactly. It's so professional that we'll just ask if there's any possible chance of seeing the proper video.
Yeah!
Whoa! Dick DiBartolo, Mads Maddest, writer, and the Gizwiz with another one-take theater here on TWiT. This is pretty amazing. We're still at the 3D printer show. All right, so how do you get from this to... this? Well, that's what we're going to find out here. And Katie is here at the booth. And Katie, fill us in on... this is actually a great green effort, which is why we're doing it here on TWiT.
Yeah, so Protoprint is a social enterprise, and we produce plastic filament for use in FDM printers by working with waste pickers to take plastic bottles that they collect and add value to them by turning it into 3D printer filament. So first you run it through the flaker bot, and you produce these plastic flakes.
These are what recycled plastic looks like. Okay.
And then you take those flakes and you run it through our refill bot to extrude filament.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
And then when it comes out, you have filament. And so how does this benefit the person who's collecting these bottles?
Yeah, so these waste pickers, they currently collect the bottles, and then they'll sort them into the different plastics and sell it to a middleman and make about 25 cents per kilogram that they collect. But using our process, they're adding so much value by turning it into filament that they can make a lot more.
Oh, wow.
Is this process up and running now?
Yes, so we're currently based in Pune in India, and we have a pilot production site there producing filament, and we're in our final stages of testing.
Okay, and your website is, so people can go there and get more info?
Yeah, www.protoprint.in.
This is really a great idea, turning trash into a usable product. I am going to jump into the machine myself and see if they can turn me into something useful. Dick DiBartolo, Mads Maddest, writer, and the Gizwiz with another one-take theater here on TWiT. 3D print show. Is that the right number of fingers? Oh, yeah, 3D print show.
That is so cool. How long until we get something like this in our house and we 3D print?
Oh, that's a great idea. Yes, your garbage disposal unit. Like, you know what you do? There'll be a garbage disposal unit, and it'll just say, turn into print filament, turn it into an object, turn into... It's great. It's really great. But isn't that funny that you happen to bring up that example?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Turning trash into useful stuff.
That is so cool. And I was talking to someone before who was talking about 3D printing, and he really hearkened it back to 3D printing is now where the computer was in the 80s. Like, we are just now getting, like, you can only print with, like, three colors at a time, just kind of like how we had CRTs that only had, like, one color. And, you know, the fidelity isn't that great, just like monitors' fidelity. You know, the speed is slow. It's really clunky. There's nothing really, there's no really nice UI to it. This is so, so exciting what the future of 3D printing will be.
Well, you know, I can give you a hint because I was talking to someone about talking about 3D printers on this show. And he said, oh, if you want to tell the story, he said, don't use my name, but tell the story. He went to get a tooth replaced and they took the photos there. And the dentist said it'll take 45 minutes because we have a 3D printer.
Wow.
And we're going to make you a new tooth.
We're going to print your tooth.
They printed his tooth. And he was there for like an hour and a half and had a new tooth
that is amazing.
All in the one visit.
That is that is straight out of a science fiction novel.
Yes, absolutely. That's, I mean, it still was like one or $2,000.
Go to the dentist. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course. But,
well, they don't say the cost in the science fiction novel. It's probably that expensive. But holy mackerel. Like, that
holy
is.
Holy moly.
Holy moly. Holy moly. Yeah, like, you print your teeth. Yes. Go to a dentist and print a tooth.
Yeah, no. I know. I don't brush them because when they rot,
I'm just
going to
print some more ones.
I print some new ones.
The next time that I print them, I might have extra fangs. I might want to kind of gussy them up, add a few bedazzle my teeth, just print it out that way. That's what I wanted.
Your mouth looks so weird. Oh, did I put my teeth in backwards?
Oops. Gosh.
You know, I printed these in a hurry. I think I printed two upper plates. No wonder they don't fit.
Man. Are you still showing natural teeth? Ugh. Gross. That's just, you know, bacteria grows on natural
teeth.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's disgusting.
That's right.
Mine are non-stick.
You know, you know, what did you do to your mouth? Because I only had green filament. I was in a hurry. I'll print ivy when I get home.
Exactly. God, that is so cool. Okay, so coming up next is Minecraft.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, okay, there's something before this?
Something before this. I didn't put it in the doc. I'm surprising you. A few weeks ago, we got some soap from Manhands. And in return for giving us all this awesome soap, they actually sent us a whole bunch more, enough for us to get through the entire year. So for the next month, we have a new bit. So go ahead and roll it.
It's time for the soap of the month.
Hey, Dick. So today for the soap of the month, we have this guy with us. What's your name?
My name is Chris.
Chris is here, and we are going to test out some soap. So the idea is, on Gizwiz a little while back, we got some soap from a company called Manhands.
Okay.
And they have different smells. Very original and sort of interesting, mannish smells.
Okay.
So we have a soap bar for you to test out and see if you can guess the smell that this soap bar is. You think you're up for it?
Yeah, let's go.
Cool, let's do it. On the other side of this,
it's hard stranger,
I can't show you the other side because then you'll see
stranger.
The label. Try to go ahead and peel it without looking.
Looking up.
Good sport. Perfect. Lather up now. Right. The idea is to figure out which smell this is. And I'm going to give you, like, three choices because me and Anthony both smelled this, and we couldn't figure it out. So you can, like, one to three choices. As many, you know what? Throw as many choices out as you want.
I'm going to throw campfire at it first.
Okay.
Maybe barbecue.
Okay.
Maybe something vaguely out of a garage.
Okay,
so
we got fire, barbecue, and garage for it. Now, would you wash your hands with something like this, do you think?
Yeah, sure. Why the hell not?
Yeah, cool. He says
this is a good soap.
He'd go into the store and buy it.
Actually, it is Bonfire, which I think is very close to fire. Thank you so much for helping out with the soap of the month.
Happy to do so.
So there it was, Chris. Chris knew exactly which soap it was. Big thanks to Chris, he was just a guest during Twit, and so,
Great.
Check that out.
Did he get to keep the bar of soap?
No, we took it back. And we're going to send it as a bit of crap to someone.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Slightly
so
used.
Screw the guest. So we have a new...
I didn't think about that at all.
Part of the show. Okay, that's good.
We should probably give them the soap the next time. Yeah, we kept
it. Yeah, because that way they would go home and tell their friends and play the game with their friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. We'll write that into the script the next time.
Okay.
Well, it's not
I think that shows that we don't rehearse now.
Right.
Embarrass your co-host.
Right. My gadget is a security gadget. Everyone's found themselves in the situation that maybe you're at a hotel, maybe it's a little skeezy, maybe you're not. Everyone has been in this situation, right? So you want to maybe add some more security to wherever you're staying or whatever room you're in, or maybe even the room you're in doesn't have a lock. So my gadget will...
What kind of hotels do you stay in,
add
Jack?
A lock. So I'm saying everyone has this issue, right? You need to add a lock to your door. And yeah, so this is an add a lock. So to show this off, we actually have a handheld camera here. Anthony's running the camera. And so we're going to go head out. We needed a door to show it off. So
okay.
We're going to go over.
I adore you.
Oh, thanks. Oh, man. So this is the closest door in the studio. Hey, okay. How you doing? This is Radford. Do you mind if I interrupt for just a bit? Sure. Let's do it. Right. So,
Radford, you have no choice.
So, Radford, I'm going to go ahead and try to lock your door with this. Do you think that I could pull that off with this bottle opener looking device?
I already have a lock.
You already have a lock, but you have the key to that lock, right?
No.
No, you don't?
Well, yeah, they do.
They do. Someone out there. They could lock you out of your office and you couldn't get in?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
That's a very bad sign.
Sorry, I was locked out of my office. I can't do work. Okay, so you get out of here, and I'm going to show this off. So let me show it off to Anthony first. The idea is you take this part and put it into the door, I don't know.
Where the plunger goes, right?
Yeah, the place yeah, that the
I think it's called the strike plate.
Strike plate, perfect. That makes sense. And then you take this. Add it to the other side as a wedge to keep the door closed. And you actually do it on this side so that it pushes in. So go ahead and get out of here. And I'm gonna test this out. And then we'll do it one more time so the audience can see what I'm doing. So you throw this in the strike plate. Go ahead and close the door. Just like that. Now you should be able to get into it. Is it unlocked, right? Should be unlocked over on your side. And then I will lock it in. And now can you get in? Put some back into it. Nope. Cool.
Wow.
So anyway, that's my gadget, and I think it's time for what, the letter now?
Well, how much is that gadget?
Just kidding. Here, let's open it up. All you have to do is pull that out. You know, I forget the price. It's in the you bent the analog.
Oh my word.
Look at that. Okay, so get on in here and let me show you what I'm actually doing.
I looked on Amazon. It's $20.
$20 to add a lock to basically any door.
Yeah, that's good.
So what you do is you slide it in, and then I'm gonna have to close this door. You kind of have to get your fingers out of the way as the door closes. Whoops, and right in there. Once it's closed, you take this other sort of stopper part, and you slide it into the pin that it has. So just right down in there, and then. You wedge it as far down as you can, and now that it's in there...
Oh, and that's putting pressure against the door. Oh,
now the door cannot open, just like that. And it's incredibly strong, a really good metal. We were testing this on editors' doors and things like that, and there's just absolutely no way... this is the flimsiest door we have. I feel like I'm going to bend the metal of the aluminum here, but... But you can see using this, and then you just pull it out and then open the door like normal once you're finished. So that is the add-a-lock.
The add-a-lock is great.
And it's small, compact. If it bends a little bit, it's a little bit less compact. But I'm actually kind of surprised that it bent like this. This does feel like a really – I wish that they would have added a bottle opener, though. That's funny.
And you know, I'm looking on Amazon. The door has to open in for it to work.
Right. So it has to, yes, because if it's it, yeah, absolutely. Normally, if it doesn't open in anyway, Infiltrator will have access to the hinges, and they can just pull the hinge pin anyway. So that's why those doors aren't really quite as secure. It comes with a nice little Adalock sleeve. So if you want to, you know, put it into a suitcase or whatever, it kind of travels
nicely. This is great
nicely.
For a hotel.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Is, you know, I don't really trust the key things. Those have been known to be hacked. And this is a very simple way and very light. $20 is a ton for peace of mind. And it has instructions on how to do it in both English and Spanish. So you can check
right,
that
so
out.
You can keep out crooks no matter what language they speak.
Yeah, exactly, absolutely. So anyway, that is Adalock. That's my crap. $20 on Amazon. I wonder what MSRP is, but $20 is
yeah,
is
and it's Amazon Prime if you're a Prime member, free shipping.
Ooh. Well, they have at a bar. Add a hook.
Oh, if you don't have a bar in your room.
Yeah, you just add a bar to add a hook. Oh, this is like a little suction cup. Yeah, very neat.
No, I like it.
So, anyway, that is the Adalock from the ad company. Anyway, I don't know. Anyway, go search for Adalock, and
it's on Amazon if you need.
It's something I'm going to travel with. I actually really, really like it. It's super simple, and it fixes an issue that I know lots of people have. So, yeah, there we go. What other Ada things could we add? A mustache.
Add a mustache. Yeah. Add a nose.
Add a nose. Add a.
Add a tooth.
Adderall.
Add a bumper.
Add a dog. anyway. Add an ad to
add an ad.
GizWiz, please. We have a department that does that. John's reminding me. So anyway, that's it for my crap. I guess it's time for the Gadget Warehouse.
They're geeky and they're goofy. Together they are loopy. When gadgets pass away, he takes them out to play.
In this
Gadget Warehouse.
So we pleaded last week
for videos.
We'll beg after this video. Yeah. And we got an email from Nathan Ray. And at first I thought it was just my favorite gadget. But then after viewing the video, I searched for the gadget he showed us. And the company that makes it, it seems like the website is unavailable, so I think they've gone out of business. So it actually is it's a double view of video. It can fill in for my favorite gadget, and it can fill in for my gadget warehouse.
Perfect.
So here is Nathan Ray's viewer video of the week.
Hi, Dickie D and Chaddington. This is Nathan Ray from the UK with my little daughter.
Hello!
Saren and Griffin in the back of my tiny car.
He's watching the GizWiz.
I didn't know if this gadget would be allowed on the GizWiz. But then I saw, Dick, you reviewed an object quite like this at CES this year. So I thought, well, why not? I'll show you my favourite gadget. And my favourite gadget is, well, I'm sitting in it. It's my car. It's my little electric car. I'll give a quick demo of it driving. Here we go. Simply put it into forward and press go, and it goes.
Wow! It goes faster.
We're not driving it fast now, are we?
Because we're in the middle of the park, but we're in the car parking place.
Yeah, just to make the video, that's right. Okay, so it's fully electric. It has a range of about 40 miles, depending on how you drive it. And it's got a top speed of about 50 miles an hour, 55 miles an hour. I've got it up to 60 downhill on a motorway once. But this little car is not designed for driving on the motorway at all. It's designed for driving around the city. It's got four seats, two adults in the front, two kids in the back. And it's perfect for doing school trips and taking kids to brownies and guides and taekwondo
scouts,
yes, and going swimming and things, and obviously coming to the park. I'll show you what it looks like on the outside. It's called a Riva, made in India. It's got lead acid batteries, and here it is.
Oh, wow!
Very, very low maintenance. You just plug it. I just plug it in at home. 13 amp socket at home. And
wait till you see the name.
And because it's lead acid batteries, they top them up with deionized water every couple of weeks or so, and that's it. There's no oil change. There's no clutches to replace. There's no. It's just really cheap to drive. About 2 to 3 pence a mile instead of 20 to 30 pence a mile that my other car, my big car, costs. And that's it. It's made in India by a company called Riva, but you'll get a kick out of this. In the UK, it was branded as the G-Wiz.
Oh!
Yeah!
Which I think is the gadget with the closest name to the Gizwiz that I found. Anyway, that's my gadget. I love it. It's my little electric car. Top Gear hates it, but what do they know?
Absolutely. That is...
But, I think the company... Anyway, I went to Riva, India, and as I said, it says this website has moved or is no longer in... And there's a company in Great Britain that sells them, but it looks like they're only selling used ones.
Right, right.
And then there are a bunch of things about terrible things that happens to them in accidents. So
right.
I guess maybe they decided not to produce new ones.
This but is by far the coolest video. Wow.
And the guy is so lucky because his daughter has an accent just like him.
I know.
What are the chances of having a child born with the same accent
who
as
would
the
have
parents?
Thought? I wonder if he got lucky twice with the other.
That's right. That's right. The kid could have been from Brooklyn, you know?
Yeah. Wow. The front of the... I'm looking at this image, and the front of the car looks really weird. I wonder if... I think that's a fake. I think that I'm being faked out. Oh, there's someone showing off the GUIs. Very, very, very cool. That is the coolest gadget.
That is pretty nifty. That
is really nifty.
Production. Yeah, I as I said, the manufacturer itself website seems to not be there.
Yeah, this is
companies selling, I think, old ones.
Yeah, this is,
So anyway, if you have a gadget cool. like that and you want to share it with us, shoot a little video like Nathan did. You can have your kids in it if it works out that way. 2 to 3 minutes. It can be, I bought a piece of crap. I invented this, my gadget warehouse, my favorite gadget of all time. You know, just show it what it is. Just like Nathan did, a little demo. If you remember the price, that would be great. And put it on YouTube and send us the link. It's gizwiz at twit.tv. And we're very low on videos. Nathan saw last week's show and sent that in, and we played it right away. Just a couple things. Some people are sending in, like, professional videos that, you know, they're in TV production and stuff. So that sort of takes the fun out of it.
Yeah.
So we're kind of looking for...
If you have a phone, you can make a video.
That's
what we want.
That's exactly it.
Yeah
just make sure that, you know... It's lit enough so we can see you or the gadget and that we can hear you. But pretty much those are the ground rules.
Yeah, that's our...
Gizwiz at twit.tv. And you know what? You may not even know the answer to this. Do we still send a person in England, for example, a piece of crap? For...
Sure.
Okay. All right, there you go. And you get a Mad magazine?
By no authority. Yeah, sure.
I mean, a 30-year Alfred E. Newman picture and a piece of crap.
Yeah, you might get the Bonfire soap.
You could get the Bonfire soap.
Which we didn't give Chris.
Which we didn't give to the guy who really won it.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, thank you so much, Nathan, for that video. That was really cool. And I guess now it is time for the letter.
Wow,
Got to put on my reading glasses.
Oh, the glasses. They give you an air of authority. I think
they do, you know.
Yeah, yep, you know.
I think people, when they see me wear these glasses, they go, that guy knows something.
He knows, yep. He knows something. We don't know what. Nothing. He knows nothing about fashion, but nope. He knows something.
He knows something.
Exactly. We have another John. I'll warn you now that I want to show like a minute or minute and a half of this video because it's given me such a great idea, Chad.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the letter from David Pepka, and the subject is Mini Museum. Dick, you may not remember, I visited Disneyland a year and a half ago. I'm a magician from Hershey, PA.
Ooh.
I found a cool item on Kickstarter, and it made me think of you guys. It's called the Mini Museum, and I actually, instead of reading his letter, I will play the video, only because the guy wanted, I can't quite see.
Oh, it's $38,000, and he got.
He wanted $38,000, and he's up to $750,000.
Whoa!
But look at what the mini museum is, because I want to make one of these with my crap. So, John, if you could play a little of that video.
Wow.
Hello. My name is Hans Fex, and I'm the maker of the mini museum. The Mini Museum is a pocket-sized collection of rare specimens from Earth and beyond. This is a project I've been working on for most of my life. But if one takes in consideration the age of some of these specimens, it's been billions of years in the making. Each Mini Museum is individually numbered and handcrafted to display every specimen's color and texture beautifully. Most of these specimens were acquired through specialists, which came recommended to me by museum curators, research scientists, university historians, and the such. The full list of these thought-provoking specimens is found on the Kickstarter page. Please look at it. I think you're going to find the list of specimens amazing and really fun.
Oh, we could stop there.
Right now.
So the object here is...
This is
what I'm thinking, Chad. Like my 45-year-old videotape.
Right.
I could cut an inch of it.
Yeah.
Go through my warehouse, my 35-year-old crappy copperware pot ripoff.
Yeah.
Just an inch of aluminum, put it in one of those blocks, and sell people Dick's Gadget Warehouse.
The mini museum of Dick's Gadget Warehouse.
Yeah, exactly. And if this guy raised almost $750,000, actually, it's a very clever idea because he's taking like foil from the spaceship that was on the moon.
Yeah.
So all you need is a little, you know, a little quarter inch piece of it and say this was on the moon.
Yeah, he has. I'm looking at a little image and there's T-Rex tooth. Triceratops brow horn, dinosaur eggshell, the oldest matter ever collected.
I threw that out.
I think I sweeped that off the floor. Dracula soil from the Vlad the Third's empire. A mystery specimen, it says. I don't know what that means.
Oh, I got a lot of those.
Yeah, I got a few of those. Mummy wrappings.
Oh, wow.
From the London Bridge.
BC.
That's so cool. You could own a part of the London Bridge.
That is such a great idea. And look at how much space it takes up on your table.
I know.
It's like the size of a page of a paperback and maybe an inch thick. Frozen in time and resin.
So how much does this early bird special, all gone.
I think you can get one. Look on down where you actually get.
It looks like he only has the thing is that each one of these, you can set a limit. So you can see on here, there's a limit of 48. And so he has limits on almost all of these because I assume he can only break what he has so right. many times. So the Media Museum is still available. There's 54. And that
was 179.
That was 179.
That's not outrageous.
And then the large mini museum is $239. Includes all specimens in the small and medium, plus 11 more, as well as a detailed...
So it's 33 specimens.
A mystery specimen, which is only revealed one.
I have an idea that has something to do with soap, but I'm not 100% sure.
It might smell a little bit like a campfire. and that is it. That's it.
That is pretty...
Those are the two things you can buy.
What did the person who paid $3,500 get?
He got himself in a mini a Smithsonian tour and craft your own mini museum in person.
Oh my gosh!
That's what you wanted, Dick. You wanted to craft your own.
Oh, you know, I'll just do it for $35. You can come to the you come to the warehouse with a pair of scissors.
Yep, and a sledgehammer.
And a sledgehammer. And make your own Dick's Gadget Warehouse mini museum.
That is so cool. And I wish that I had $239 to spend.
Because
look at it right next to your, PC. Like, that is the coolest thing.
Yeah. And that link, by the way, is also on my website.
That is so cool.
Gizwiz.biz.
There's less than 100 left, which is making me sad. But... and this is exactly what Kickstarter is made for, is for like kind of one-off projects that aren't going to really be business models later on. It's what they've publicly said. Very, 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 very cool. Oh, there are 646 larges left. Oh, you're right. Oh, yeah, there's tons left. Okay, never mind. If you want to get a large, you got tons left. 15. Oh, wait. No, there's only 54 left out of 300. So 54 left out of 300.
Right. So the $179 level get something, right?
I can't look down. I was looking at the t-shirts and the medium. I wasn't looking at the larges. So plenty of larges left. Wow. Now you said we had an update to a previous...
Yes. 2 weeks ago, we both talked about our Fitbits.
Yeah.
We both are wearing the Fitbit Force.
Uh-huh.
And the Fitbit Force is no longer being made.
Nope.
It has been recalled for a makeover because the band has been giving people...
Rashes.
They're saying 1.7% of the people who buy it. Have you been getting a rash from it?
I have not. Now, the thing that freaked me out, and I heard this secondhand, I have not read this in a news article, is that because of the nickel in the band, it could make you generate a nickel allergy that is hard to get rid of over time.
Really?
And so that's actually freaked me out so much that I'm going to go ahead and return it. I've been wearing it even though I've already asked for a return. And I also found out I don't care quite as much about the tracking technology as much as I really like having a watch. And I feel like I spent a lot of money on something that was to track stuff that I don't trust. And the sleep is a big thing that I wanted to track, and it doesn't do that well. So, I went ahead and did the recall. I went ahead and asked for the recall.
Oh, you did? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, now, see, I have no rash either, but now that you say it could develop something...
That's what freaked me out.
Yeah, I think I will probably return mine also.
Yeah. I hate saying that live because I heard that secondhand.
Okay.
I wish Dr. Mott was
in
the chat to confirm
it or
something
up on
like that.
It, right.
Yeah. Yeah,
right.
Anyone watching, read up on it. Make sure that I'm not just blowing smoke.
Yeah. But, out in Great Neck, they're developing a dime rash. Just the nickel rash is just for the peons like you and all.
Right. Around here developed a 1K rash.
Yes,
we don't even
yes.
know who. We don't hang out with that guy.
The millionaires are developing
yeah.
that.
Yeah, exactly. I know that's a good point. Yeah, Fitbit Force has been recalled. They're not selling it anymore. It's funny because I thought that mine had a manufacturer default or a defect. the around the screw, there's a whole bunch of cracks around the plastic. And I felt like, come on. Like, I feel like the screw was tightened too much and there's these cracks happening. So I took it into Target to ask them about it, because that's where I bought it. And they were like, we don't sell that anymore. And I was like, wait, what?
Oh, that's what, yeah.
That's how I found out. And then later on in the day, we
yes. And hopefully they'll redesign that band, because that band is ridiculous.
Yes.
Twice this week, I had to go through my apartment trying to find my Fitbit.
Yeah.
Because it seems like you clasped it and you think you heard the click. And then suddenly you're not wearing it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, most of the smart bands are using this weird hole design.
Oh, really? Ugh.
Yeah. Like the new Gear uses it. I swear there's one other that uses
the new Samsonite Gear?
Yeah, Samsung. Yeah. Yeah.
Samsung.
Samsonite. Samsung.
You know, it's funny. I was holding that in my hand at the introductory event, and I didn't notice the band.
Yeah, so if you look at the back band, let me see if I can get a big photo.
Because
see, look
watch
at it.
Itself.
So, no, but it uses band. that whole design. Yeah, this is the old one. Let me get
new one.
Yeah, it still uses the I'm on Gear 2. It still uses that design with holes in the back of it. This is a photo of the Nano. This is the Gear 2. Let me just find a thing with it on the back. No, that looks like the Gear 1. That is the Gear 1 because it doesn't have a removable strap.
Yeah, well, the one I was holding was the little companion one. I think it's called the Gear Fit or the Gear Fitness Band. And that has a big screen, and it also does your heart rate as you walk.
That's cool.
And it showed a lot of stuff all at one time instead of having to push a button to get each individual reading.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, there were like 30 of us at each table with only two samples. So we sort of passed them around. But from the minute or two I got to play with the Galaxy 5 and that, I was impressed.
So here's this is the smaller one, the thinner one.
That's the one I was talking about.
And
you're right.
Oh, there you go. There, that's perfect.
Yeah. My word.
So I'm bummed about that. Now the actual gear one, it looks like it has like a double thing, and maybe you set it once and then do a latch, because I remember this latch on the back of the original.
Yeah.
So that might be different than what we're complaining
about. And the gear fit,
Yeah. Well, that about wraps it up. Remember to play What the Heck Is It?
And it's coming to an end.
Ooh.
This one ends February 28th, and then a new one starts March 1st. So depending on when you're listening to this, you can get in on the February 1, or you can jump in and guess what the March-April gadget is. But right now, it's the January-February purpley thing.
Yeah. It's the purpley thing. That's if you guess the purpley thing, you may or may not get a Mad Magazine for it.
That's right. Guess what it really is? We give away 12 issues or make up a silly, stupid answer we like. And we give away 24 issues, up to 24 issues for that. So up to 36 issues of Mad Magazine and 36 copies of the 35-year-old Alfred E. Newman photo. Gizwiz.biz. Click on What the Heck Is It?
Awesome. And that about wraps it up for this episode of the Gizwiz. Thank you guys so much for sticking around and watching. If you want to subscribe, make sure you head on over to twit.tv/Gizwiz. Where you can find links to all the versions that we offer, HD, SD, SD2, HD2, even audio only. And make sure to send in your videos to gizwiz@twit.tv. I guess that's it for this episode. See you next week.
I'll be here.